need two seats just in front of the wing, the pilot and passengers sat in front. And out in front, there was another passenger hole with a ring, same. Mm-hmm. And the camera was mounted on that ring, and that was where they took the oblique photographs. She had to stand up in the 60-mile-an-hour blast and take these pictures, you see.
The photographs were oblique. They weren't like, as we know them today, where the camera's on the bottom of the plane.
No, those were verticals. Most of the maps were taken from obliques. Now, I've got one in there. I'll show you a little bit later. And I stress the fact that I was well acquainted with the map-making people down in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a map there, a map section of Canada that's named after me.
Is that right?
And it's partly due to the fact that that I was known, that my name was known now.
Is that right, eh?
Yeah. I'll show you that later on. Let me see. Well, to get back to get a little continuity in this thing. There was bad weather down there, down in Rainy River. That's why they call it Rainy River, I guess. There weren't too many fit days for flying.
Now, what day do we got here,
sir? Well, this was on the 4th. The first flight I made was on the 4th of July.
4th of July, 1929.
The 4th and 5th and 5th and 6th. And then there was a gap until the 10th.
This is 1929.
In 1928.
28, okay. Just want to make sure I got my dates right.
And I did a bit of duel. I had about 4 hours duel on this thing. And then it came a good day. I was ready to go, but we had to wait for weather. So on the 10th of July, with a crewman, aircraft crew Vanette. Now, where did he come from? He must have gone down. Or he was there. He might have come through with the I think somebody bought the aircraft to Rainy River. And Vanette probably was there. And we started off. And I got up as far as, mind you, this is cross country. I didn't think about reading maps and so on. And the Winnipeg River, I got as far as Menaki, and I thought I'd better land there. And I knew there was gas in there, and I landed there. And boy, I got a royal reception because there was a resort hotel there, you see, and what a thing it was for the guests to have an aircraft come up. Oh boy, that was really something. And anyway, we had lunch there, and we got some gas. I remember it was in 4 gallon cans. And then I took off again. I was doing fairly well until then. I took off again, and I wasn't getting up very much height after we went over Kenora. Well, it was past Kenora. And the Winnipeg River, I found out afterwards, is very quite narrow there and obstructed with trees. And I couldn't find it. I couldn't follow the river. I was going to follow the Winnipeg River down, which led into Lake Devonny, you see. And I got lost. When I say I got lost, I mean I did lose myself. Well, actually, what actually happened, I usually could keep a pretty straight course, and I did. I mean, luckily I did. I found out that I went across doesn't make any difference. There was the part of, the lake part of Lordy, what's the name of that place? Anyway, there was a series of lakes there, but it was turned into a sort of a big park eventually.
Was the Lake of the Woods area?
No, it was past the Lake of the Woods.
Okay.
Menaki is at the top end of the Lake of the Woods, you see. And I was past there, and I did see one or two lakes that I, big lakes, but I did keep a fairly straight course, it was luckily. And I picked up a powerhouse. I mean, there's a lot of powerhouses on the Winnipeg River, and I picked up one at Point de Blanc, which is about 6 miles away from Lac du Monde. And in the distance, I was a bit north of there. In the distance, I could see aircraft moorings at the Air Force base. So I was making for Point de Blanc for the powerhouse, which was north of Lac du Monde, sort of, and I came in more or less to the north, you see, and people could never, they couldn't figure out. Leo Sharon was the flight, he was a flight attendant there. And he couldn't figure out how I, well, he wasn't there when I landed, but some of the other pilots, there was a couple of them. Two of the people who had recently come into the Air Force, I say recently, they were just a little ahead of me, but I hadn't met them. Anyway, they were there at the Lake Tabani. Well, anyway, I got into Lake Tabani. Okay, the same day. The same day.
Pretty neat that you came in from the north.
Yeah, right? I came in from the north. Well, see, YD, YA. This was YA all the time. So that was on the... The very next day, I think it was. No, I stayed there for a couple of days. That's right. And on the 13th, on the third day, I had my first detached operation. I was sent up, I was told to go up to Barron's River and fly in 4 gallon tins of gas to Little Grand Rapids, which was about 70 miles up the Barron's River, inland, to service Roy Slemon's photographic group. Now here's where I got into Slemon again, you see. Well, we took the gas was up there. We didn't have to fly that. We went up late. Vanette and I again. No, this was Myers. Yeah, this was another AC-2, another crewman. Myers, I remember him, little sandy haired fellow. We took a small tent along, and I think some food. I'm not sure, but I think we had some food of our own. And I think we bought some up in Barron's River. I forget. Anyway, we camped out on a little point in Barron's River there, away from the settlement. Why did we do that now? I think the Air Force gas cache was there, yeah. It was on a... Yeah, I think that's why it was. Anyway, and we were there... Let me see, I made... No, wait a minute, I may be wrong there. First of all, I flew this aircraft right to Cormorant Lake. Yeah, that's what it was. I stayed over there two or three days. Yeah, a couple of days, as a matter of fact. And left the net at Lac Da Bonnie and took Myers up to Cormorant Lake, which was 40 miles out of the Paw, up Lake Winnipeg, Grand Rapids, and the Cormorant Lake. And there again, there were two maps from Grand Rapids into Cormorant Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And the route to follow was right on the division line between the two.
Okay.
And there again, I got mixed up, and there again I came in from the north. I finally got in there all right, but I was a little mixed up.
Would you be after any forest fires and patrols like that during this time? Or was it just a question of fueling government operations and supplying government operations? You didn't fly in any medical supplies to the north area, that sort of stuff?
Not then, later on, but not then.
Now, is this where you got... uppity with one of your superiors to get yourself off the promotion list?
No, this was the next year, 29.
The next year, 29. Yeah. Well, what happens in 29 then? Do you stay at Winnipeg right through 28? The Winnipeg Air Station?
I based at Winnipeg Air Station, mm-hmm. but I was,
You spend most of your time flying.
Back to Bonnie Barron's River. And then we made this trip. Oh, yes, here's 8 cases of gas. This is later on. I came back to Lac-Tabani. Yeah, still in July. You see, and I know in one, I made, let me see how many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I must have made about 8 trips into Barron's River. On 2 or 3 occasions, on a couple of occasions at least, I made at least 2 trips a day, you see. And I saw a lightning strike, on one of the trips. This was in the middle of summer. There was lots of lightning, lots of electrical storms in there. And I had to land on the Barron's River a couple of times, running into storms and so on and so forth.
Well, I guess there wasn't much you could do about lightning. You were the best target, I guess, too, so not correct.
Yeah.
When you were flying.
Well, with water, you haven't any idea how much water there is in the North Country. The map, I'll show you this map sheet later on. Now, let me see. Well, I was at Barron's River doing on this work. 23rd. This particular, I think this fire, I took a fire warden lodge, I have a note here, to southeast to fire. Apparently there was a fire, I picked up a smoke there. I know why I was over at this isolated point there. The tower was over there, the forestry tower. I remember that.
So I guess there's a lot of good cooperation between the Air Force, the Forestry Service, the geographic map, and
it was our job to fly these people where they wanted to fly, you see. It was our job to do that. Bus driving, you see.
Bus driving.
Well,
now,
anyway.
You continued the same operation then pretty well up until 1929, is that correct? I'm thinking now in terms of when you lead the number one general purposes detachment.
Yeah. Well, I won't go into the whole thing. There's a lot of, still in November, we did Ranger Stevenson, Dr. Campbell, and Mr. Seibert. Gee, I ran into Seibert, too, quite a bit. I don't know what happened there. Oh, that was a trip with them up into the mining area, Coal Lake, Cranberry Portage, Cormorant Lake, yeah. Transportation for Deputy Minister of Mines. Oh, Dr. Campbell, that's right. He was the Deputy Minister of Mines, yeah. And
this would be what, November 28th?
I want to tell you. Let's see. Somewhere along there, I got instructions to take... Yeah, here's the Forestry Patrol. Oh, I guess... Camsel and Seibert, yeah, we picked them up and I took them right up from Lac-Tabani to Cormorant Lake, yeah, that's right. And then, this was in the 8th of August, and the 15th of August, I should say, and I took them around some of the local mines up in the Cranberry Portage area, and then I did some forestry patrols at there I met Maudsley, yeah. Yeah, this is a lie. I told you, I was flat set up a flight lieutenant, you see. And Maudsley had a name for being quite a character in the North Country. He still is, as a matter of fact. I still remember his name. And I'd heard of him, you see. And I was determined that I wasn't going to be overawed by him. So I came in there to the dock. He was standing on the dock because he knew... Somehow or other, I don't know how, by telephone, I guess, some of the forestry people, that, yeah, there was a telephone, a land telephone.
Well, what day was this?
This would be on the 25th of August. And Maudsley's on the dock, and I recognized him, and he was going to be friendly enough. he came up to me, and I said, so you're in bonds, were you? And it kind of took him back. He wasn't expecting it from a flying officer, you see. And he and I had a great, well, it was in a friendly way. I mean, we had quite a nice, I like Maudsley, as a matter of fact, because he was always trying to put one over on me, and I was always trying to get one ahead of him, you see. It was friendly rivalry, you might say. And, well, anyway, I stayed up there for a while. There, here's Davidson again. And then, Pelican Narrows. Now, what happened there? Well, I was doing odd jobs up there. The Moth doing patrols. And, oh, yes, this is the one with the Moth. I made a long forestry patrol. Got over to the Ontario, to the Saskatchewan boundary.
For the Gypsy Moth airplane?
The Gypsy Moth, yeah, on floats. Mm-hmm. And I got lost again there because the map was, it was a Wild Bird Lake or something like that. It was just a series of lines. There wasn't anything at all anywhere near that. Anyway, I got back all right. I turned around there and got back to Cormorant Lake. And I ran out of gas. I had just enough gas to get in one end of Cormorant Lake, way at the far end. They wondered why I landed there, but I just got in there. And they picked me up with a boat there. Well, then I was still at Cormorant Lake. Oh, then I made a trip with Davidson again to Reindeer Lake. And it was a very smoky day there. And very smoky on the trip, but I can still, Davidson was navigating. He was sat alongside me, and he didn't want me to go this way. He pulled my elbow over me.
Well, that was a great problem at this time.
Yes, it was. It was, well, this was very bad flying conditions. This was very smoky. And he was, I was busy keeping a watch on the horizon, you see. There were no instruments, and you had to watch the horizon. In fact, you were just looking straight down in the smoky day.
Seat of the pants flying again?
Yeah, seat of the pants flying. It was all seat of the pants flying. Well, anyway, that was that. Well, then...
What did you do that winter, do you recall?
Yeah. Yeah, then I left Cormorant Lake. Oh, yes, there's a very... I remember this one, too. We left the Cormorant Lake on the 18th, taking the Vedette down. Now, the Vedette would only do about 60 miles an hour, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was a very strong, this was in the October. There was a very strong southerly winds. And it took us 24 hours to do 500 miles. I had to stop. I gassed up three places, I think, along the way. And it was the next day before I got down there. I had to spend the night at a fisherman's camp over at Bullhead. I remember that. Well, anyway, right, like the Bonnie. Well, then I did...
Did you see yourself as a romantic bush pilot type figure?
No, we were doing a job of work, that was all. Yeah. That was all. It was nice. I mean, it was interesting. I was doing many kinds of work, you see. Well, then I had after I got back to Lac des Bonnes, Roy Slemon's photographic detachment was based at Little Grand Rapids, which was, I'd flown the gas into them, and they were doing photography up, you don't know this, but on the Ontario-Manitoba boundary line. And I took a cook in to their base at detachment base at Little Grand Rapids with the cook and provisions. And then I took others. I made two or three trips up there, several trips. And then I did several trips. And then back to Lac des Bonnes, to Little Grand Rapids. Oh, yeah, then the other pilot, it was Roy, his wife was sick or something, and he applied for leave, and he got in, he was taken away. So I went up and took Roy's and took this fellow's place. I'd never done any photography. I had no training on photography, but anyway, I...
You're up there snapping pictures anyway.
Well, I wasn't doing the photography.
No,
I was just
flying.
Doing the flying, you see. And that was on the 12th of October. and it was getting dangerously close to freeze up there.
Did you have problems with planes icing up?
Yes, two or three times. There was, I had one of these trips way back, I had to make a forced landing.
What kind of height would you be flying?
Oh, 1,500, 2,000 feet, no more than that.
Because cold otherwise, eh?
Well, it took you too long to climb up.
Get that high with the plane, of course.
Well, anyway, photography, there were some gaps in the foot, and somebody had been photographing before, and they'd have some gaps in there. Anyway, on the 12th, October, I did the first flight with Davidson, and here I met Davidson again, you see. And we flew, did some flying there, and then on the 16th, and we had to go way into Sandy Lake, which was in Ontario. And it was a long trip. We had to carry, we had a full load. We had the photographer and camera and the navigator and the extra gas. And it was quite a load. However, we got in there.
Did you have to land and gas up on the way?
Yeah. There was lots of lakes in there, and you could land anywhere. Well, anyway, we went, we got back there. And then there was still some more gaps in the line, and there was bad weather come in. But we stayed until the 31st with Roy. And 31st of December, of October. And it was freezing up. I remember coming back on this long photographic trip, trip with Davidson. Some of the lakes were frozen up. And there was no wind, and it was hard to tell whether it was actually water or ice, you see. You couldn't, whether it was still water or ice, you couldn't tell. So we got back anyway.
Hmm.
And here's C.R. Slemon, flying officer, OC number four photograph detachment, RCAF. Well, then we did. Now,
well, how did you get yourself into trouble on promotion? Now, you said you were going to tell me that, and I think this is as good a time as any.
Yeah, well, I'll have to skip a lot. In the meantime, come back to the Winnipeg Air Station, and in January, 14th of January, I started first. I was sent down to Borden to take a photographic course.
Yeah, this would be what, 29?
This is 1929, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was where I was flying Avros down there. I'm flying Fairchild. No, flying just Avros, I guess, because most of it was a ground school refresher course, but it was photograph. We did some photographic stuff. And I've got pictures, verticals, the photographs of pictures that I took of the hangars in Borden. I'll show you those perhaps. Well, then, Fairchild. I flew Fairchild there. They were FC-2s, I guess, the smaller Fairchild. Fairchilds and Avros. Compass flying. Local photographic practice. Cross country. And then back to Lac du Bonny on the... not Lac du Bonny. Back still. Compass flying. Cloud flying. Well, we must have been doing a little bit of... navigation flying, compass flying there too. I don't remember this, but I think there was two pilots went up, and one was put over the bag, and the other fellow was outside, you see. Compass flying. Yeah, this was all photographic flying. This was all aboard. And there for a couple of months. And then I was given, after I got back to Lac du Bonny, I don't take up all the time, I was passed out there. And back in Winnipeg, and I was given a debt, what the dickens is all this? Oh. Then I was sent down to Ottawa to bring the debt back. Yeah, that's right. In the spring, you see, this was in May,
mm-hmm.
1929. And this was my first long cross country, but I got through all right there. Sioux Lookout, Lac des Bonnes. Took, let me see, how long did it take? Corporal Lunny, transportation of a debt. 26th of May, three days, I guess, just to get
there. 3 days.
Well, Major Turner, in the San Luis. Oh, he was construction. And, I was doing some odd jobs there. Oh, here was the, my first Mercy flight.
Do you recall what you were carrying?
Two Indian women. One was burned up at Pelican Narrows to the Paw. Now, how did I get up to the Paw, for Pete's sake? Oh, here, I took up a debt. Here's where Major Turner comes in. I took up a debt up to Cormorant Lake. I was doing quite a fair amount of flying, you see. And took this up to Cormorant Lake. Yeah, that's right. And I think I'd been told then that I was taking out... Yeah, I must have been told. I haven't got a note of it here. I was officer commanding of number one general purpose detachment. And the aircraft was up at Cormorant Lake, yeah. And we were doing photography and transportation, everything, you see.
And your motto was?
Specialist in everything.
That was the motto.
Yeah. And anything. Anyway, we got to Cormorant Lake.
Well, generally speaking, sir, then we're talking about Mercy flights, aerial photography, fire watch, supplying.
General transportation.
Just general transportation.
General transportation
flying
for,
people in, flying
for
people
government, for government people, yeah.
Government people.
Yeah. Yeah, this Major Turner, he was the Air Force construction officer, that's why.
So you're going to tell me how you got yourself
promoted? All right, I'll come to that. Now then, up there, I took up a vedette, and Air Fairchild XL was waiting for me. XL and XQ, yeah, XL and XM, I should say. XL and XM. The two Fairchild, what they called Razorbacks. They were two Fairchild aircraft with 200 horsepower right engines. And the fuselage at the back was peaked at the top and triangular. It didn't come back. It wasn't a square fuselage. Later they were corrected. They were made differently, but those were the Razorbacks. Sharp edge, you see. Anyway, they were the two aircraft. Oh, yes, and I know it isn't in here, but Mosley was still at Cormorant Lake, and he took one of my aircraft one day without me knowing it, and I gave him hell for it, you see. And there again he was taken back. But we had a... Well, I enjoyed being with him, let's put it that way. I was determined he wasn't going to get ahead of me, you see. Oh, dear. Lots of little funny things. Well, anyway, as soon as I was slated to go up to Churchill, to take my detachment to Churchill, and I'm back in Lac des Bonnes again. And I'm back to Cormorant Lake. I don't remember going down there. But anyway, I picked up a crewman there, Lac des Bonnes, who was with me in the detachment, Regan. He was my crewman and photographer. And he became a wing commander in the Second World War.
Is that right, eh?
But on technical ground. He didn't.
Technicality, yeah.
When I say technical, he was one of the... in charge of one of the inspection departments the last time I saw him. in when they were manufacturing the DH, what was the wooden aircraft they made in the Second World War?
Mosquito?
The Mosquito. Yeah. Oh, no, not Mosquito, no, it wasn't that. It was the big bomb, Lancasters. They made Lancasters in Toronto. Well, we had to wait at Carmack Lake until the ice conditions permitted us to get into Churchill. And, to fly to Deer Lake. And we had a camp. We first camped. There had been a detachment up there prior to that who had established, who had left two tents and a bunch of equipment in there and a gas cache about halfway between the Nelson and the Churchill Rivers and a lake in there. So we got in there and made our base, and then one of our jobs was to photograph an area, Button Bay, just north of Churchill, of the port of Churchill. Well, we had beautiful weather. Here, this is, comes in where I was sassy. We had beautiful weather, photographic weather, and I was keen to get this job done. It had been my first photographic work, you might say, on operations. I was keen to get this thing done. There was only one train a week, and no film arrived. One train came up, and no film. So we had to wait another whole week, you see, in this beautiful photographic weather. So I was reporting back to Ottawa every night. There was a wire ground station up about a mile. I was reporting to them every day, or every 48 hours anyway. And I sent a hot letter back. Why is there no film in ship? What's the matter, you people down? That is more or less. What's the matter, you people down there? Here's beautiful weather and no film. Hustle it up. Well,
The wrong thing to do.
The film did arrive eventually, and I got the photographic work done, but I didn't do a very good job on it. Now, I'll tell you why. The lines, the map, the photographic map they'd send out to do the work, they'd put flight lines either one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Putting flight lines east and west meant that I didn't have any landmarks. I was looking right over the Hudson's Bay. I didn't have any landmarks at all. If they'd run the lines north and south, I'd have had guides to land, mm-hmm. land to guide me. And I didn't do a very good photographic job. I quite agree. This was verticals too, and I was 10,000 feet. And there were quite a few gaps, mainly when I was coming east, when I was facing the Hudson's Bay, you see. Because I had no guide, I had nothing to guide me. And the winds were blowing, you know, and you'd drift back and so on. So there were quite a few gaps in there. But anyway, that was that. And that was how I lost a year's promotion.
You think that was it there, or were you told that, or?
No, this comes in later. Well, I spent the summer there doing odd jobs. There was some photography, some transportation, and... Oh, yes, I did photography up and down the Hudson's Bay. That's right, some oblique stuff. And then I had, there was one rescue trip down there, too. Where is it here? Well, it doesn't make any difference. Anyway, but a chap got hurt down at Nelson. Nelson, not Nelson House, York Factory.
York Factory.
York Factory. The original plan, there was a railroad, the Northern Railroad was in mm-hmm. Manitoba, was originally to go to Nelson.
Right.
And they built a long pier out, a mile out into the bay, to make shelter. That was the only shelter that was there. It was exposed to the, it was right out in the bay, really. And they had a dredge. Out there to dredge along to work on the, or to, they built an island, an artificial island at the end of this railroad, at the end of this bridge, which was a railroad bridge actually. And they were dredging so that deep sea ships could get in there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
This dredge broke away in a storm, floated down, at least was blown along the bridge, that is sideways along the bridge, blown into it, put it out askew, damaged the foundations and so on. And Then they finally got it back and tied it up to the dock. And they left a little donkey engine there, a little steam engine with running on rails back and forth. And the operator, I don't know what happened, he ran off the rails and the thing turned over and he was very badly scalded. I was up at Churchill. We eventually got word of, several days afterwards. There was no, I think somebody had to go up the river to the railroad and then wire through to Churchill. Anyway, this is interesting because it's quite a job. They'd taken the chap in to the Hudson's Bay post, or the buildings on there. There was no post there. The Hudson's Bay, to the buildings that were put up for the workers. And they had to carry, they carried him out on a door. There was no stretcher, you see. And then, in the meantime, the donkey engine had been fixed, had been put up again.
Right, okay.